Bless you, brothers and sisters. Another fine morning. Amen. Praise the Lord. Good to see everyone. Let's all stand if we would as we approach the Lord in prayer this morning. And we ask Brother Eric Chakaya if he would lead us to the Lord in prayer this morning.
To be in thy presence this morning. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we realize that it's not because of our own doing, but it's because of your grace and mercy towards us.
Yes.
And Father, please, in the name of Jesus Christ, forgive us of all our sins, transgression, and iniquities. And please, Lord, open our hearts to the preaching of thy word.
Yes.
And let it produce the fruit for which you brought it forth. And Father, we ask you, O Lord, to put thy servant aside and to use him as a vessel to speak to each one of us so we may grow in faith, in the loving of thy word, in the loving of one another. We ask all these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's turn, if we would, to the book of Daniel, chapter 9. Daniel, chapter 9. We'll read a few verses, starting with verse 1, and then we'll see how the Lord leads this morning. The scripture reads, "In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant of mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments, we have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces, as at this day to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to all Israel that are near and that are far off, through all the countries whither thou hast driven them because of their trespass that they have trespassed against thee. O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes and to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him." Amen. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Please be seated. Not sure what to call this, but I'll just say that we'll call it fulfilling the commission. It's another part because I feel that we're pressed in our hearts to be ready. Be ready for a rapture. And before we can be raptured, there's steps that need to take place, things that need to be fulfilled. Just for us to focus on those things. We're here not to, for any other reason than Christ. And because we fell in love with Christ, and that's why we're here, I believe. And, when a person gets married, they shouldn't marry for what that person has, you know. What the job they have, the gifts that they have, whatever, all those other things that are about that person. But the central part is that we fall in love with each other, that person, who that person is. And so because of that person, I'm just talking about the natural, then we fall in love with that person, and that's why we get married, because of love for that person and who that person is. And so the same thing with Jesus Christ. We don't come together, we don't come to church because of the gifts. We don't come to church because we feel happy when we're with Him. But it's one thing, and that's because of who He is. And that's what attracted us to Jesus Christ. And so if that hasn't attracted us to Jesus Christ, then we need to find something else. Because the more He reveals Himself, it should be the more that we love Him. So, you know, sometimes, I guess when you look at the scriptures of Jesus, you know, some people followed Him because of the miracles and the good things and all those other things that they saw, those attractions. But that was just in order to get attention for those who really wanted to follow Him. And so those who really wanted to follow Him, there was something that they latched onto, something that they saw. And they couldn't be shaken from it. And so no matter what Jesus said, no matter how He said it, all those different things, it wouldn't shake them. And so He could even say, "Eat my flesh and drink my blood," and it wouldn't shake them, because there was an attraction there. There was something that drew something in the heart they couldn't understand. We don't follow Jesus Christ because we think it's a good thing or something, it makes sense to us, it's the best policy or something like that. But it goes beyond human thinking that we are attracted to Him. Something drew us to Him and we couldn't explain it. And even though people try to shake us off, the devil tried to shake us off with whatever distraction, whatever situation, whatever thought, whatever persuasion, those type of things, we were not shaken. We might have been, thinking a little bit, and, you know, we might have been kind of in limbo for a little bit, but eventually we came right back to where He was. You know, we come right back to where we left off, and then we continue following Him. So because there is a magnetism, there is something that's drawing us, and it's a love affair that brings us to Christ. And so if you don't love Christ, then there's no point in being a part of this. Because that's what this is all about, is a love affair with Christ. And so just the same as, you know, a man and a woman, if you don't love that person for who they are, then there's no point in that relationship. And so we know that that is the most important part of a relationship, is love. And we know that, you know, that's a filial love that we have for a man and a woman. But the greater love is the agape love. And so if both the husband and the wife, they love God, and that's their ultimate, then everything else is going to fall into place. And we know that if that man follows Christ and receives that same spirit, that same love of Christ, that he's going to bring that into the marriage. And so the scripture in Ephesians says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. So the same love is actually what he's saying. The husbands ought to love the wives in the same love that Christ loved the church. So that same agape love, that selfless love. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now let that be the basis, because when we look at the scriptures of what he is honing down to in our relationship with him and going into the rapture is all about love and becoming intertwined with him. Now, I'm going to read on some things here, because there's so many aspects, so many different angles that we could look at this, but we are really trying to see, like, some of the things that he spoke of, Brother Branham, to point us to, so that we could fulfill those parts of what he had spoken of, right? And some of them are so simple that, you know, people just miss it. They ignore it. They don't look into it for whatever reason. But I believe it, the bride has to catch it, she has to see it, and she has to become a part of it. Now, what I'm trying to say is the attitude of the believer I'm talking about here, and the approach of the believer. Because when we look, and this is just a basis in Daniel chapter 9, but when we look in the scriptures in several different places, it is written the same type of attitude that Daniel has. And by God's grace, we will look at it. But you see that Daniel, he wasn't just saying any kind of prayer, but he was yearning from the bowels of his heart about the situation. And he was crying out to God in a way that you could tell just by reading it. And so we could gloss over it if we want to. But if we really get in the spirit of what he was saying and the spirit of how he was saying it, then we could really see that he was praying with the anguish of heart. And, you know, when we look at Jesus Christ as how he looks at this whole entire world and how the sin and how everything is degenerating, degrading, immoral acts and all those different things sweeping the globe, the way that man is thinking above God and thinking that they know better than God, all these ungodly things. And so he has pity in his heart. It's not like I can't wait till the time's up and they can be burned. It's like he really is reaching out and yearning for them to come back to him. If you look in the scriptures in Matthew, when he was rejected, you know, he came in such a way, he went from the highest to the very lowest, you know. Nobody wanted him since he was a baby. You know, his mother was spoken against, you know, saying that she was a prostitute, you know, and saying all kinds of bad things about Joseph, saying he was an illegitimate child and all these different things. And so Mary knew in her heart, right? Jesus knew in his heart. Joseph knew in his heart. But you see, they didn't talk about it. And sometimes God doesn't want us to say certain things. He wants to just keep it. It says in the scriptures, Mary kept all these things in her heart. And so we want to justify ourselves sometimes and say like, well, actually, this is what happened. But sometimes God said, zip your lips. Because it's not for them to know these things. And so God hides these things from the wise and prudent and reveals them to babes such as would learn. And so the way up is always down. And so there was a reason. God was trying to explain things in a simplistic manner. You know, he says men always try to complicate it. You know, you have seminaries, you have education, you have these hierarchies, you have governments in the church, and they make things so complex, and they take us so far away from the real thing. And if we're not careful in a congregation like ours, we can the same thing can happen. If we focus on the wrong things, we focus on church government, we focus on social activities, we focus on all these other things, but the main thing has got to be Jesus Christ and our relationship with him. And so we know that the scripture talks about if we have that relationship with him, then he will reveal himself to us openly. But you see, it's a secret relationship. It's not something to brag about to everybody else. God revealed this to me. God did this to me. And all these different things. But sometimes he just wants us it to be just us and him alone. Amen. And you know, he's trying to control our tongue. You know, when you look at the stature of a perfect man, you know, he's showing the different attributes that he's trying to build in the Christian person. And you got faith and different things. But one of the things is temperance. And temperance is to control our tongues. And that's one of the hardest things for human beings to do is to control their tongues. But you see, we as children of God, we've got to get to the place where everything comes under the control of Jesus Christ. We must come into the full obedience of Christ. And, you know, there's different things as we're walking, but you know, and we see it in the scriptures, yet we don't obey it. And, you know, God doesn't expect us to obey immediately. But he expects us to continually be moving towards him, right? If we want a further move of God in our life, we've got to be able to come to the obedience of Christ. You see, when it says that Enoch pleased God, right? And so we know Enoch was an example for us because he was raptured. And so he had a faith that led him to the translation, right? And so let me just take it back for a little bit and try to make it simple for us. So when your child obeys you, do you like that? It pleases you, right? And so the same thing with Jesus Christ. When we follow his word, and we love to follow his word, then that pleases him. And then when that pleases him, then you see what happened to Enoch. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's not like I love Jesus, but I'm going to do what I want. But a true child of God wants to do everything that Jesus Christ wants him to do, no matter what it costs. And so we have to make decisions in our life to give up certain things because there's things that really hinder our relationship with Christ. Distractions, you know, influences of the world, you know, different people, perhaps, you know, even harmless things, perhaps. But we're distracted, and so we are not able to focus on our relationship with Christ. You know, family is good. You know, church is good. Fellowship is good. You know, all these different things are good, but if we spend all of our time doing those things and we don't spend our time with Jesus Christ, then what good is it? So let me get back to here. So you see that Daniel, he had anguish of heart, and he saw and he looked into the message. Do you all agree with that? He looked at the prophet's books, right? And he searched them and he said, these things are to be, but why isn't it happening in my life? And so we as believers ought to be digging into the message of the hour, to the scriptures, and to see where are we at and what are the things that are yet to be fulfilled in my life. Now I'm going to get here to because there is a love that we must have in our hearts that is unselfish love, and it's a love that loves everybody and is yearning for their salvation or for them to come to Christ. And to see them in a dying state that it kills us. And so we know that there's two forces working right now. We have the force of the Lord and we have the forces of the devil. And so that force of the devil wants to build unbelief. It wants you to doubt. And so you know it sometimes when you're reading the scriptures, you're reading the message of the hour, you're listening to the message of the hour, but sometimes it's very hard. You're distracted. You don't feel anything. It's cold to you, you know. It's just a bunch of words. And, you know, you even start to get a headache or something like that. It's because that it is unbelief that is working on you. And so, you know those things of the world, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. If we are susceptible to all these things, if we're giving in to those things, then it's going to cause our relationship to grow cold with God. So, lust of the flesh, anything of the world that is not of God. So, you know, we say, what is of the world? It's easy. Anything that's not of Jesus Christ. Anything that's not of this word and this message of the hour, then you've got to put it out of your life. We have all kinds of things in our devices and things that come in, and you know, they can be entertaining, they can be a little bit of fun and different things, but you see, you can't picture Jesus Christ looking at those things. Because it's taking away. You see, God wants us to eventually be 24/7, our hearts and mind dedicated wholly to Him. You say, Brother Tim, that's too hard. With God, all things are possible. You see, if there's a desire in our heart, there's a supernatural power that can help us to meet that desire that's in our hearts. You see, we are mortal in ourselves, and we are finite, and we have limitations, but God has no limitations. But you see, He's looking for an open channel to work through. You see, if there's an open channel, a willing heart, and the doors are wide open, that He can come right in. And it was just as if Jesus Christ was standing here once again. But you see, we've got to let off these things that are really holding us. No, I can just speak, for example, you know, even news. I feel that is a distraction and is a corruption to our minds. You know, when you read these things many times, it starts to corrupt your brain. It corrupts your mind. It doesn't edify you. It doesn't help you any. And so, you know, you might say, you're crazy. You don't even, you know, listen to the news or watch the news. And I'm not advocating ignorance, but you see, whatever it takes to have that relationship with God, He's got to be number one in our life. And so you see that a true child of God, as they continue walking, they become an oddball. They become different. Even to other believers, they become different. Across other message believers, I would say that you will be different. They'll say, let's do this, but I feel this way, or I think this way and things. And they say, you're just a little too far off in that end. But you see, we've got to get to that point. And so Daniel, he had this in his heart. And so he humbled himself in such a way. And so the way up is down. And so by being that way, and we take Jesus Christ, you know, he ruled the... We can't always fathom it, what he really did. But he created the universe. He created this earth and all these different things. But he made him lower than you and I. Lower than you and I. He became nothing. Are you willing to become nothing? You know, we get upset with these petty things when somebody tries to put us down, or, you know, somebody tries to make themselves better than us, and then we get upset in different things, but Jesus made himself of no reputation. Can we do that? Can we make ourselves nothing? Does it matter to us? And so he made himself nothing. He became lower than sin because he took all of the sins upon himself. And then he went to hell even for us. And so he was our example. And so you see, there's something that was working on Daniel's heart. It was a love that he could not understand that was taking control of him, that caused him to pray. You think that was him? That was God working on his heart, and he was being used as a vessel, and so that he was beginning to pray, and so the same prayer that God had, but you see, he's got to work in human vessels. And so God is waiting for you and I to really accept and open our channels so that we can actually be him on earth and have the same heart that he had and to be expressing, because he cannot take control of these things, cannot happen until he's become fully manifested in us. And the same heart that he has becomes in us. And so Daniel had this heart, and he humbled himself, and he said, I have sinned along with these people. And we know that Daniel was a righteous man, but he humbled himself saying, I am part of this. Just like Jesus said, I take on these sins. That even, he didn't say like these no good, no count people, I'm just doing this for them. He didn't say that, but he took it all on himself. He was slapped, beaten, and all those different things. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I want you to turn to Matthew, or Mark, chapter 11. Verse 22, and Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. We know this scripture. We know that this scripture had to be fulfilled in our day. You know, Brother Branham says he didn't understand that scripture until it was made real to him. And then God was able to use his mouth, use that vessel to speak the words of life. And the creative power of God brought different living beings into existence. just like it was in the book of Genesis. But you see, he's trying to get something to us here. If you look at verse 25, and when ye stand praying, let's read verse 24 again one more time. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. So he's talking about prayer. And when ye stand praying, forgive. If ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. So he's talking about faith, but now he's talking about forgiveness. And if you look at the message, Perfect Faith, he said faith is based on forgiveness. And so this scripture cannot be fulfilled in your life unless you forgive everyone that has done something to you. And so Jesus had that perfect faith, because when he was on the cross, even though they did all those bad things to him, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And that was a sign of the token. Do you understand what I'm saying here? You know, without going through all the scriptures and all the message that we went through, but you see, God was trying to bring something to us, a revelation of what this mystery was that he was trying to convey to us. And we talked about the third pull and the seven seals, but it was a revealing of Christ. Amen. And Christ was love. Amen. And you see, you cannot have faith unless you have love. And so because faith produces love, are we all together here? Amen. And because God loved us, then it produced a confidence and a faith in him. And so that perfect love will produce a perfect faith for a perfect rapture. And so, but that love inside must be there, that we forgive everyone no matter what they have done to us. And so we have got to be in a mature state to let the love of God be created in us in such a way that this will be possible. And it will be possible, brothers and sisters. You see, let me read something here. You know, when we pray, sometimes it's difficult for others. You know, sometimes we pray, we fall asleep. Sometimes we pray and we don't have a feeling or something like that. Why? It's because, remember the two forces I talked about? It's the forces of evil and unbelief. And remember, he says, the iniquity would abound in this day that the love of many would wax cold. Are we remembering the scriptures? Because sin is so great in this day that it will make everyone, almost everyone's love grow cold. And so we have a hard time praying because our love is being affected by what's around us. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so you see, but God was waiting for iniquity to get so great in this day. You know, sin is on the rampage so great that a majority of the people on this earth are overcome by sin. And that is a fact. You know, one of the things that I was, you know, my wife and I, we were talking about, because, you know, and I talked about it on Wednesday, but I believe that some of these sins are so rampant that it's just destroying people. You know, I just pointed out one. It was a lust of the eyes, and talking about how men are looking at women in such a way that it's corrupting them. And this pornography thing is on such a rampage that it's almost covered the whole earth. You should look at the statistics and the percentages of men and Christian men that look at pornography. They did all these statistics. They said it's so great, it's the greatest it's ever been in the entire history of the world. Why? Because of the internet. That's able to spread across the entire globe. And then you can see that the scripture, just like it talks about in the days of Noah and the days of Sodom, so shall it be in this day when men were thinking of evil continually. And even though there's Christians, they're paralyzed by this age, this Laodicean spirit, and this, you know, I'll take for example this pornography. It's causing men's spiritual lives to not have its strength. It's causing them not to have a fire. It's causing them not to have the strength and their, you know, the power that they need in their Christian life. That's right. That's And so we've got to shun these things. You know, Brother Branham already gave us instructions and commandments of how to deal with these things. But you see, the commandments are there, the instructions are there, but it does no good unless we take them and obey them. We've got to take them to their heart and say that I want to do this by God's grace. And by God's grace, it will happen. But you see, we've got to make that decision in our life. And so he says in this message, we want to have an urgent spirit, an urgent heart. And it's going to get to prayer here in a second. He says, he talks about desperation. He says, you know, when a wife is sick with cancer, it throws us into desperation, right? Because we see that she's about to die. And so we want to do everything we can, right? But you see, without an emergency, many people don't get into desperation. And so they need some type of emergency, something to happen. And so do we need that, brothers and sisters? No, we do not. Because the love of God, the Spirit of God should work in our hearts so much that we have desperation in our hearts about the times that we're living, the loved ones that we have that are not saved, that are in sin, the state of the world, the state of the people in the congregation or whatever that are falling, etc., those who are not here with us. It should throw us into desperation. He says, but if you're just slothful, you don't care whether he does or not. How many of us have felt like they don't care? You know, you see these things that happen in the news, people dying and, you know, people run over, earthquakes and thousands of people dying. And so we are sometimes unconcerned about it. Brother Brandon had a message, he cares, do you care? He said, I believe that the reason we don't have desperation is because it's a lack of love, the love of God. And if you feel like I'm harping on it, it's because I'm seeing something in the message and in the scriptures that this is a central thing in our walk, in our way out of here. We've got to achieve this. You see that when he mentioned Ezekiel 9, he talks about this is the sign of the token. This is the sign of the Holy Ghost. But he says very few people actually have it. Very few actually have it. And so you say, oh, we're all in the message, we're all going to heaven. But see, that's not what he said. That's not what he said in the message. That's not what he said in the scripture. I'm not trying to say that to scare you. He gave an example. He said, there'd be 500 maybe from the entire earth and different things. And so when he says those things, it ought to throw us into desperation to say, like, Lord, am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? Lord, is it Scriptures fulfilled in my life like they're supposed to be? Am I doing these things? Am I praying like I ought to? Do I have a concern for others like I should have, like it's talked about here? Because he says, crying day and night. That means it is so heavy upon them. They can't sleep. They can't eat. It's eating up on them. And so they've got to see something happen. You know, it took that kind of a move for God to ever do something. I'm going to read a little bit further here so we get the point. He says, because it's a lack of love, the love of God. He says this. He says, John 14, 23, Jesus said, if a man loves me, he'll keep my words. Now, you can't keep his words without having faith in what he says. And I can say this, a true wife does not love her husband the right way if she doesn't do what he asks. I'm not talking about she's just some doormat like Brother Bram talks about, but she desires in her heart to do everything her husband desires in accordance with the Word of God. And so if he desires this, his wish is her command. You're saying that's chauvinistic. That's the Scripture. That's the Bible. Abraham called, or Sarah called Abraham Lord. Didn't hear too many amens on that one. He says, now you can't keep his words without having faith in what he said. So you see, if he loves God, so a man ought to live a life so much that his wife wants to fall under that headship. She respects him so much because he lives a life that is just like the life of Christ. You know, his life is a sacrificial love. His life is a selfless love. And so that automatically causes her to want to follow him.
Amen.
Because she can see that he's being obedient to Christ and falling under that headship. And when somebody is falling under the headship of Christ, you know you can trust them.
Yes, sir.
There's no one you can trust better than Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And so he says, so you see, if he loves God, then he keeps God's word. If he said, I'm the Lord that healed thee, he believes that. Love makes him believe it because love dominates all. He says, though I have faith to move mountains and have not love, it's nothing. Love dominates all because God is love, a God of love. Now, yes, sir, if a man loves me, he will keep my words. So somebody says, I love God. And you see they don't obey. Then it tells where their heart is. Now he says, we find out in James 5:15 that the Bible said that the effectual, fervent, that's desperation, fervent, effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. When a righteous man, a good man, gets in travail, or soul travail, or travail, either one, He says, when a soul gets in desperation and travailing, and that's laboring, you know, just like a woman that's about to have a child, it's like, ah! When they're travailing, an effectual, fervent prayer of a man that can show the token, it does something, see? And so when he's asking, he says, when he says that in the scriptures, it avails much. It's very effective when you have that type of prayer. And so when we're really praying for somebody, say it's Sister Jolie, and we pray in earnest, and we're crying out to God, and we have an urgent desire to see there to be a deliverance, there's something that's going to take place. Because there's a feeling. There's a love there. There's a concern there. But when you just pray just anyhow, nothing's going to happen. Let's turn, if we would, to the book of Ezra. Ezra chapter 9. There's so many places. I'm just going to hit some highlights here. But Ezra chapter 9 is when, you know, the people were building the temple. And things seemed to be going well. The Passover was set. They were doing that. And they were following all these different pieces of the Word of God. And then he finds out that these, you know, many of the Jews had intermarried with the people of the land. The Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, which Moses commanded that they should not do. And so when they, you know, he said this, and then when he saw that this had been so widespread and rampant, then he began to cry out and say, Lord, we have sinned. Ezra was a priest. God was leading him in a direction to correct and bring these people to the Word of God. But yet he was, again, just like Daniel was bringing himself in the sin of the people. He said, we have sinned. We've done all these different things, and you've given us some grace. But now we've done this, Lord. And so he was asking for forgiveness. That's all that we can do, is ask for forgiveness and grace. You see, God cannot do anything with you and I unless you get to the point where you feel like you cannot do anything else without him and that you need his grace. As long as you feel like you can figure it out on your own, try it, because you know it takes humbling to do that. Sometimes it takes humbling in our heart. Sometimes it takes humbling in front of our family. Sometimes it takes humbling in front of others. Maybe other believers to say that I was wrong. And I need to bow down and correct this. And so that I can be clean. You see, when we have that type of attitude, then God begins to work. And then God begins to come in. And then there's deliverance. You see, when he had this attitude, watch what happened. You see, when he began to take on this cry, then the Spirit of God began to work
on the Israelites. And they began to confess and say, I have done this wrong. I have sinned. And they wanted to make it right. And sometimes, you know, God is looking for us to make that decision to make things right. And they decided, they said, we will separate ourselves from the people of the land that we had married. And they went by family, by family. That's a hard thing. To separate from a wife or a husband. To separate from children. But they, the word of God had such a power that they said that we must do this. But it took one man. You see, the Brother Bam says if he can have one man in his hand, what he can do. You see what he took Moses, one man in his hand. Look what he did to Egypt. Turned the whole place upside down and delivered the people of Israel. What can he do with more than one person in this congregation? If we could just come totally submitted to him, what kind of power could he work through us? You see, but we don't desire power. We desire God's will. And however he sees fit to work within us. But you see this happen, and you see the same attitude all throughout the scriptures, because Abraham had that same attitude. If you look, and let's turn, if we would, to Genesis. Genesis, I believe it's chapter 19 or 18. And it's verses 23 through 33, if you want to read it on your own. But you see that Abraham, God said, I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And then something rose up within Abraham and said, no, Lord, don't do it. Maybe there's 50 there. Please save the land if there's 50. And so you see how Abraham had such a relationship with God that he could speak to him in this way. You know, you read this scripture and you're like, man, I'm surprised that God tolerated that. Because he keeps coming back at him. You know when kids come back at you, they say, but can I please? And then you say no, and then they come back. And they say, can I please? I mean, you may be ready to put the spanking on them, right? But you see, when Abraham, because of the love that was inside of, and you see, it wasn't two different thoughts. It wasn't God's thinking and Abraham's thinking, but it was Abraham was displaying Jesus Christ. He says, perhaps there's 45, 40, 35, 30, 25. It was almost like an auction, right? But then it went down to 10. If there's 10 righteous in that whole land, but there could not be found 10 righteous. And so God's mercy runs out at a certain point. He's very long-suffering, but it's going to run out at a certain point. You see it in the Bible that God's mercy ran out on Israel. God's mercy ran out on the Amorites. God's mercy will run out on the Gentiles. It's not forever, brothers and sisters. And so he is, what an excuse do we have when we have this message, when we have the scriptures, to live any other kind of life? You know, it's given to us, but he doesn't force it on us. He gives it to us so that we will accept it, but only by free will. Amen. Let's all stand. I just put this thought, and maybe we can go through it next Sunday, perhaps. But you see, you know, there are five manifestations of Christ that was spoken of in looking away unto Jesus, if you remember that message. And, you know, the message was to reveal Christ, and Brother Branham talked about that in different ways, different words, different forms. You know, he talked about third pull, he talked about seven seals, he talked about seven thunders, but it was all the revelation of Christ. Are we all together on that? The revealing, the opening of who Jesus Christ was. And so, in the message, there were five times that Brother Branham was talking about how this the third pull had been working or manifested in this day. He talked about the squirrels. He talked about the storm, talking about the storms. And you can see a little bit different perspective of each different one that happened, because he was displaying himself as Jehovah Jireh, as the Creator. But then he was talking, and he was displaying himself as the God over this earth, because he can control the winds and different things. But you know, he talked about some other things, because one of the things that was so miraculous is that, you see, there was a woman that had got into the channel to say the right thing. She pleased God by the way she lived and how she thought. You know, she could have had anything, but you see, she was looking in the same direction of Jesus Christ, because she was more than the temporal things on this earth, about the health of her mom, about the health of herself, about the health of other people. She was looking at the eternal salvation of her sons when the prophet said, whatever you ask, you'll have. And so because she had the right love, God knew that in her heart. And he gave that to her. And he gave her two children that were so far away, as Brother Brandon was talking about this whole thing about the squirrels coming to existence. They were laughing during that whole sacred time like that. They were so far away from God, but God had rich in mercy. And he spoke and said, have whatever you will. She said, I want my two sons. How many of you all want your sons or your daughters? God can give it to you in the name of Jesus Christ. You see, because she had, I believe, the token. You see the token, he says that power. You see, the devil's got a grip, right? But you see, that token is much more powerful. By the love of God, it can overcome all that and bring your children in. There's a reason why he said that. I read in the message where he said there was a man, Mr. Dalton, he kept coming to Brother Branham. What about my 12 children? What about my 12 children? And then Brother Branham, you know, it's like the judge that was receiving this widow woman. And finally he said, God said, give it to him. And then he said, I give you your 12 children. That's the power of the spoken word. That's the power of Jesus Christ. That's the power of love, brothers and sisters. If we could just yield ourselves, God, I believe, can give us our children. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you, O Father. Lord Jesus, what can we say, O Father? Lord, just forgive us, O Father, of our sins, O Lord, our trespasses, O Lord, our laziness, our slothfulness, O Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, O Lord. We need your mercy, O Father. We need your forgiveness, dear Lord Jesus. Lord, if we could just pay attention to what you have spoken to us, O Lord. Lord Jesus, and grasp it, O Father. Lord Jesus, help us, O Lord. We are nothing, O Father. Lord Jesus, help us, O Lord. We need you, O Father, in our lives, O Lord. We can see the display, O Father. Lord Jesus, may you help us, O Father, to grasp hold on it. Lord, and to refuse the devil's lie each step of the way. O Lord, may you grant it, dear Father, the control of the service. Lord, help us in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.